Chapter 1.
Second Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 to 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God our Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Bev. Last week, you may remember, if you were here, and let me just say, lovely to see one or two of you here, new faces or people that haven't been around for a long time. Great to see you, lovely. So glad, and you're welcome to come back anytime. And if you're looking for a church, you are more than welcome to come here. We believe the Bible and we try and follow Jesus, and so we take out time each week just to look at what the Bible's saying, to look at what God says to us. And last week, we dipped into Psalm 121, which says, as we looked at the beginning, you know, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And we thought about his constant, unstinting, watchful care over us. And we were saying that our confidence, both now and in the future, our expectation for the future is based totally on him. Our rock, our shield, our defender. He's the maker, the faithful one, the unchanging one. This is our God. He never slumbers and he doesn't sleep. He's there all the time. This morning, I'm going to link in with that a little bit into what Peter says to us. Or rather, let me say this, rather what God says to us through Peter. I think sometimes, I'm just going to move myself into the middle here. Sometimes we can tend to think, well, this is what Peter is saying. Or this is what David was saying in the Old Testament. This is what Peter says in the New Testament. We need to understand that the God who inspired the writer of Psalm 121 is the same God that inspired Peter here. So it's the same God that's speaking. It's always God's word. And I sometimes catch myself more and more when I say, Peter said this. Actually, yeah, Peter wrote it, but God inspired it. We need to understand, and it's really helpful for us to keep in mind, that this is God's word. This is what God is saying to us. It's not just the idea of an individual person. So through Peter, the Lord says in verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, or of Jesus our Lord. That's more than just a little greeting. It's more than just a kind of little polite thing that he says to get out of the way. That's actually the whole purpose of why he's writing. Through Peter, God wants these believers to know an abundance of grace and peace. And I find it interesting that right at the end of the letter, in chapter 3 and verse 18, he comes back to this, knowing the abundant grace, the abundant peace of the knowledge of God. So what we've got here is a message from the Lord, because God wants us to experience and he wants us to enjoy not just to know. There's a big difference between knowing something and enjoying something, isn't there? God wants us to enjoy ever increasing amounts. That's what the word abundance means. It means to grow, it means to multiply. He wants the peace and the grace of God to multiply in your life and my life. That's what God wants. And as your pastor, as your minister, that's what I want for you as well. So it's a delight always to minister these things to you. So through Peter, God tells us in these few verses, these first few verses, what he's done to enable us to experience, to enable us to enjoy ever-increasing amounts of God's peace and grace, his favor in our lives. But woven into that, whilst we think what God has done, and I don't know how much I'll get to say of this morning, but woven into that, there is a responsibility for us. There's things for us to do as well. So it's kind of a two-way thing. We can't just sit back and wait for God to do everything. He calls on us to play a bit of a part. But I want to focus this morning really on what God says that he's done for us. The first one, and I'm afraid I was kind of partway through this sermon on Wednesday night and didn't get back to it really until Friday morning. I spent an hour or so on it. We haven't got a PowerPoint this morning, but here's your main heading, okay? The first main heading is that, and I've kind of covered it already, God wants you to experience his grace and his peace, right? Just take that home with yourself this morning. God wants you to experience, to enjoy his grace and peace. This isn't just the writing of God, of Peter. This is God writing. Grace is God's favor. Undeserved, free, it's his gift. He gives it to you. And peace, it's a wholeness. It's a togetherness. Some of you may have heard the word, the Jewish greeting and farewell. They will often talk about shalom. It's a wholeness. It's a sense of well-being. And that's what this word peace means. It's the Greek word Irene for what it's worth. God's will is for you to enjoy and experience. This is what God wants for you. And he wants for me, regardless, I'm so glad of this, regardless of our circumstances, that even in the midst of the valley, God wants us to experience. This is not just for the good times. This isn't just for when everything's going well. This is for the tough times, and that is something that our culture and our world and our society doesn't give, does it? It doesn't give that. So much dependent on things that we have. God says, I want you to have that whatever your circumstances are. And God wants us, the whole thing of this is that growing in God's favor, growing in peace, it really comes with growing in our understanding and of the Lord, growing spiritually. Because the more we grow spiritually, the more we will experience and enjoy these things. He says in verse 4, and this is where I'm getting it from. He says, through these, he's given you his very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature. That you may participate in the divine nature. It doesn't mean that you're going to become God. It doesn't mean that you're going to become part of God, but it does mean that you're going to increasingly share some of the same characteristics of God. That you're going to partner with God. You're going to be a partner, an associate with who God is, what his plans are, and his purposes in the world. This is what he's called us for. I wonder, can you think of anything greater as a human being than this? Could there be anything greater than becoming like God and sharing and being part of what he's doing? To be a partaker in the divine nature. What is God like? Well, he's good. God is perfectly happy. God is happy all the time. He's perfectly content. He's perfect in goodness. He's perfect in purity. And he wants us to become like that. The more we enjoy that, the more that becomes part of us, then the more peace and favor of God we will enjoy. How does that happen? Well, I'll answer that in a moment. But it's important for us to know that, and here's the second major point for those of you who take notes. First one is that God wants you to experience his grace and peace. And that comes as we get to know him more and as we become like him, participate in the divine nature. The second thing is that God has done, he's already done everything for that to happen to us. God has already done everything for that to happen. Look at what verse 3 says. He says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. He's given us everything we need. And we mustn't miss what he's saying here. That is huge. Everything we need, he has given you. That's past tense. It's not something that you look for in the future. It's not something that he'll give you. He's given you. It's there as a deposit in you now. And it's to every believer. Every believer. No exceptions. Everything we need to be the people that he wants us to be. And if you're truly a child of God, if you've really been worked on by his Holy Spirit, everything that you want to be. We are an aspirational people, aren't we? Do you know what I mean by that? We're a people that want to get better. We're a people that want to grow. That's what we should be. If we haven't got that desire, then we haven't been worked on by his divine power, by the Holy Spirit. If you don't want, and this is hard, I'm appreciating this is hard, but if you don't have in your heart a desire to grow, to be like God, then you need to ask yourself, actually, am I a believer at all? And that sounds really harsh, but actually, I'd rather be harsh and have you get to a point of realizing you're not yet a Christian so that you can take that step of belief than let you swan through life and end up at the end and find that you're not ready to meet your maker. You understand what I'm saying? It's more important that you get saved than you sit here comfortable. I'd rather you get a bit uncomfortable sometimes, and that uncomfortableness drive you to Jesus, than to sit here comfortable and think, church is lovely. Oh, Stuart, he's so lovely, he's so kind. He's always, it just makes me feel, I don't want to make you feel better. Well, I do. You understand where I'm coming from. It's not just about making you feel better. It's making sure that you're ready to meet your maker. And when you're ready to meet your maker, then you can know the peace and the joy. We as God's people then should be our aspirational people. We should be constantly looking for change in our life. Change for the better. Change to become like Jesus. We've got to understand this. And he's given us that desire. The Christian faith isn't simply something that a person decides to do. Being a Christian isn't about signing up to follow a set of doctrines, a set of teachings. The Christian faith is about experiencing God changing us. It's a dynamic thing. It's a living thing. And that's brought on by the Holy Spirit living in us. We cannot have the Holy Spirit living in us. And you all have, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You cannot be a Christian and not change. Physical impossibility, spiritual impossibility, because the Holy Spirit, the divine nature, the divine power of God is in you and is bringing change. So I say again, if that change is not happening, then look at your heart. This isn't to make you doubt. This isn't to doubt make those of you who are believers doubt. But it is maybe to make some of, you know, if there's any of you here that think you're in but aren't showing the evidence of it, to make you think. Where there's life, there will be growth. You know that, don't you? If something's not alive, then it's not going to grow. Should be growth. spiritual growth, growing like a little bit more like Jesus. That doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. But it does mean that as we look back over our life, whether it's 6 months or a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, we should be changing into the image of Jesus. You see, Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God will want to change you. He will be leading you to change, to become like Jesus. So here's an encouragement for us this morning. If you look back over your life, you look back over the last year, and I'm not asking you to look back over the things that have happened, the mistakes you've made, because we could all do that, can't we? We've all done that. We've all made mistakes. But look back over the last year and think, actually, have you grown a little bit to be more like Jesus? Are you still seeking to follow him? Do you find in your heart a little longing to be more like him and a bit more hatred of sin and the stuff that goes on? If you do, what a wonderful assurance that is. Because that's the work of God in you. So every Christian's got the Holy Spirit living in them. There's no difference in that. It does mean that we have no excuses. It does mean that we can't go back to say, well, it's the way I am. It's my genes. If you knew my mother, if you knew my father, you'd know. Some of you know my mother, so I have to be careful what I say. There's no excuses to say that's just what I am. It's my past. I can't do it. I want to say to you, believer, this morning, yes, you can. And that should be good news for you. Yes, you can change. You do have the power to do that, not in yourself, but because of God living in you. He has given you everything that you need to be the person that he wants you to be. Our culture is great at making excuses. We live in a day when everybody seems to pass the buck. It's never, when things go wrong, it's never anybody's responsibility. It's always someone else. They've done something to me. They've hurt me. I'm a victim. We don't take responsibility for our actions and our decisions. I want to encourage you this morning, don't fall for that lie. I want to encourage you, as your spiritual, human, spiritual father, take responsibility for what you are, what you think, what you do. But know that you've got the power to change because you've got God in you. This isn't just positive thinking. This isn't just kind of, you can do it, you know, you can do whatever you want. You know I don't like that kind of talk. This is saying, we're weak. We are weak. We're fallen. We're sinful. But by the grace of God, the work of God, the Holy Spirit living in you, he can do it in you as you work with him. We need to get hold of that. Really quickly, how do we get hold of it? How do we harness? How do we get that to become operative in our lives? I think Peter gives us the answer to that here. We access that power of God to change as we get to know God. That's the third big bullet point, okay? We access God's power as we get to know God. Two times in these verses, we have the phrase, through the knowledge of. Verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then in verse 3, he says, "Who's all we need for a life of godliness through our knowledge of him." And speaking of the promises, the great and precious promises of God, he says, so that you may participate. So we've got the word of God, the knowledge of God, so that we may participate in. If you were here a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when we were doing Pilgrim's Progress, we went through when Pilgrim was in the Castle Despair. And the threat to give up and all of that. And then he remembered in his pocket something that he'd been given. Do you remember? Do you remember what he'd been given? to help him. It was the key. He got the key. And the key is the promises of God. The promises of God undo the doors of the blessing and the grace and the power of God into our life. As we get to trust the promises of God, live on the promises, something happens. How do we get to know God? Well, there is, of course, something, some way of knowing him through the Bible. To know him, the more you get to know through the Bible. But I think when we read the Bible, that's often we fill ourselves with head knowledge. I want to tell you, there's something more important than that this morning. It is, we get to know God most of all when we stand on the promises of God and trust him. Then you experience it, don't you? And you know that. Nearly all of you know that. You know the head knowledge. It's when you start to do it. And you say, God, I don't understand this. I'm struggling here. And I just had a beautiful talk with my father-in-law last night. You know, tears are going. And he got his Bible open. And we were just talking about it. And the day before, there was nothing. You know, he was absolutely broken. Absolutely broken. And I didn't even try and really take him to scriptures. I prayed with him, but you know, sometimes it's just, you just sit with people, don't you? But yesterday, he got his Bible open. I knew he'd been reading. He said, I know it, but I don't feel it. And I said, that's okay. It's okay to be like that. But we're going to stand on those things that we don't know. We're going to stand on the things that we don't feel, rather. And trust God. And that's what it's about, isn't it? And many of you, I could ask, our time is pretty much gone. I would love to ask, if any of you would be willing to do this on a subsequent Sunday, let me know. I could ask some of you, you could come in here and you could stand here, or you could sit in your seat and you could tell us of times when you found that to be true. When you've had to say, God, I don't understand this, I don't feel it, but I'm going to stand on your promises, and you look back and you know. How do you get to know God? By standing on his promises. Because then you start to experience not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. Peter's prayer, his desire for the people, God's desire for us, is that we would experience the grace and the peace of God. As we look to him, the maker of the heavens and earth, how do we do that? Well, he's given us the power. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us. But we stand on his promises. I encourage you this morning. Read the word. Because if you don't read the word, you won't get the promises, will you? you've got to read it. But then you've got to make it your own. And stand on it. And you will find, as many of you have, that God does hold you. He does keep you, and you'll look back, and you'll get to, you will know what God is like. The old Yorkshire people used to say, it's better felt than told. It's experience. You will know. Knowing God, the knowledge of God. The more you know him, the more you'll grow. So I encourage you this morning, put it into the test. Step out. You know, we've talked a couple of times recently, mentioned a couple of times recently about the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant going into the Promised Land. And they got to the River Jordan, which was in flood, probably something like a mile wide. And they got the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, and they had to get to the edge of the Jordan, and they had to put their feet in it. And when they put the foot in the river, the waters parted, and they went across. And that's how it is with us spiritually. We've got to put our foot forward. The waters won't part. The miracle won't happen. The grace won't flow. The peace won't be experienced until we put our feet forward. So I want to encourage you with me this morning, because I'm trying to do this. Let's put our best foot forward. Let's go forward with faith. Let's see what God will do in your situation our situation. Let's live that we might experience the grace and the peace of God. Let's sing a song, shall we, as we wrap up this morning.